let me turn this thing on. It's a beautiful day to be in church this morning. How many of you glad to be here? How many of you guys showed up yesterday and were able to get to the land? I got to tell you two stories really quickly. I got there, and as soon as I got there, a young man came up and challenged me to a race in one of the inflatables. I want to thank Santiago for letting me win. But I got a cooler story. While we were there, this egg hunt was going on, and it was so amazing. But there was a young man, a little guy, who didn't make it in time. So he missed his age group appropriate egg hunt, and he didn't get any eggs. And he's walking out with his dad, and his dad's got him in his arms, and he's crying and crying. He's got his empty basket there. And one of our kids, an elementary schooler, takes his basket, walks over to him, and gives him half of his eggs. I want to thank Jackson. That was Jackson. Way to go, Jackson, if you're here. No, he's back in the kids' wing. What a blessing. I love our church. Well, we're in a series called Hungry. And as we've been going through this series, I have felt that this is such an important message that we need to hear. I don't think we understand the power that comes when we fast and we pray. I remember becoming aware of that as a young man. Maria and I, my wife Maria Mia and I, were young, and she was diagnosed with a tumor. And I remember as a young man, when you hear tumor, you think cancer immediately. And I remember saying, God, what do I do? I love this young lady. I God, please protect her. And I felt and sensed in my spirit that I should start praying and fasting. And for the first time in my life, I fasted for 3 days. I didn't eat anything. And I was so hungry. And the rumble was going on. But every time the rumble would start in my stomach, I would just pray. I'd say, God, show up. Do something miraculous. Well, when she went into the doctor, they removed the tumor. And it came back and it was benign. And I thank God for the power of prayer and fasting. More recently, I've been praying and fasting for our pastor, Pastor Kenny. He was actually had open heart surgery. And I've been praying and fasting and asking God to bring him back home. And I have permission to share with you guys that he is back home. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. Thank you, Lord. He is not up for visitors yet, but he is more than excited to be back at home. So I thank God for the power of prayer and fasting. When we pray and we fast, what we do is we align ourselves, body, soul, and spirit, with the Lord. We're able to hear his direction more clearly. He shows up in powerful ways. Now, there's a man in the Old Testament who understood the power of prayer and fasting. His name is Moses. You might remember him. He wrote the Ten Commandments. Well, Moses, if you look at his Wikipedia page, it would probably say something like this. It would talk about his name, because his name was important. His name actually meant drawn up out of the water. He was put into a basket to escape the death of the children that were being killed that were his age, and they hid him in a basket, and he was drawn up out of the water and saved by the Pharaoh's daughter. He was raised in this great place of education. He had all the latest of all that education could offer. If you'd read on, you'd find out that he actually married a native African woman, and that he had two sons, and at an early age, he sensed, as a young father, he sensed that God was calling him, was directing him to lead God's people. This man was a man of influence. He was a man who sought God's direction, and God showed up and did exactly that. He directed him. But history shows us that there was a pivotal moment in this man's life that I believe was kicked off by prayer and fasting. It was during a specific time when he was praying and fasting, 40 days of praying and fasting. Does that sound familiar? Jesus prayed and fasted for 40 days. It was during this 40 days that God showed up and gave Moses the words that would become the first 5 books of our Bible. His writings on government, business, construction, diet, health, and family life, they've outlived this man. Moses is famous, like I said, for recording the Ten Commandments on stone tablets. Yet Moses didn't always get it right. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, you know, do I even have the right to come into God's presence in prayer and fasting? I want you to hear this about Moses. Moses didn't always get it right. Moses was often consumed with anger. As a young man, this anger actually led to murder. And it led to him running for his life. Now, God did a lot of work in Moses' life as he got older. But he still struggled. Even as an older man, he still struggled with anger. Did you know that Moses actually had to write the Ten Commandments twice? Because the first ones that God made for him, these stone tablets, he got, in a fit of rage, he got angry at God's people and he threw those tablets down and they shattered in a million pieces. Well, God has a sense of humor. He tells Moses, okay, I made those tablets. I carved those tablets out you from the first ones. You're carving these next ones out. So Moses carves out these tablets out of stone and then he writes in the Ten Commandments. Shouldn't those things, that uncontrolled rage, have disqualified Moses from receiving direction from God? His anger did have consequences, but they didn't disqualify him. God saw Moses' repentant heart. Listen to me, friends. Repentance is the key to hearing from God. There's nothing that's going to disturb his voice than our own sin. So as we come into him and we're praying for something that we need and want deeply, look at your own life first. I must look at my own life and say, what am I doing that is sinful? What am I doing that could be disturbing his voice? Well, Moses had that attitude. He was a man of repentance. And God continued to direct Moses until the day he was taken up into heaven. Moses reached out to God in prayer and fasting, and God showed up with divine direction for his life. God wants to do the same for each one of us sitting here today. He wants to direct your life. And it's not because he wants to control you. It's because he wants to protect you. God wants to direct your life. Who sitting here today beside me needs God's direction? I'm about to get some more hands up. How many of you need directions for a child in your life? Leave your hands up. Leave them up. Let's show God our need. Heavenly Father, you see these hands up. You know that we need you. I pray that you would speak through me today to introduce us into something that will open up the doors to hear your voice, to show your direction. I ask for this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. God wants to be a part of our decision making, big or small. What is that one thing that you need divine direction for this morning? Should I be in this dating relationship? Should I look for a better job? How do I make this marriage work? How do I reach my son who's in rebellion? Should I stay in Brownsville at UTB or head off to Austin? The truth is, all too often, we make these decisions on the fly. We make these decisions without even consulting God, without even thinking twice. Or maybe we do think. We think, God, I got this. I really don't need your help in this. I shouldn't even bother you with this. I tell you, those times when I've said, I can do this, have been some of my worst times in my life. Man, I often fall flat on my face. I don't know about you, but my way rarely works as well as his way. God wants to be a part of our decision making. He wants to give you direction. Not because he wants to control you, but because he loves you. He cares about you like a good father. God wants to direct you. Friends, please hear me. prayer and fasting isn't something you do when you start getting to a certain level in your spiritual life. Okay, I've done this, I've done that, now I can start addressing this idea of prayer and fasting. No, prayer and fasting is something we do because we know that the only way we can live up to our calling as husband or wife or daddy or mommy or business owner or teacher or preacher, the only way is with God's help and His direction. We won't do it well on our own. We need God's direction. This morning we're going to dig a little bit deeper into this idea of fasting and how we can go into fasting for direction. As we've been working through this series, I've had some people come up and give some really good questions. And here's one of them. What can I expect when I start fasting for God's direction? That's a good question. I suspect that you're going to be surprised by the answer. Expect to hear the enemy's voice and expect to be tempted. Wait a minute, Pastor Rich. Come on, I'm coming to God. I need these moments with Him. I'm looking for this connection. The last thing I want to hear is Satan's voice. The last thing I want is to be tempted during this time. But you know what? It may be the very first thing you hear. When Jesus went into the wilderness to fast for direction, the Bible says that the devil came and said to Him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. He was hungry with a capital H. This was temptation in the biggest form. Whether Satan's voice was audible or a thought in Jesus' mind, Jesus heard the enemy's voice and He was tempted by him. Friends, expect Satan to amp up his attack when you're fasting. Expect it. He will put thoughts in your mind and temptations in your path that will distract you from God's direction. Be careful with the voices that you listen to while you're fasting. Satan can be very convincing. I have close friends who've made some very painful mistakes in their lives because they were listening to the wrong voice while they were fasting. Right now, I'm fasting from meat. I've been fasting since Pastor Kenny went into the hospital. I want some meat. I was just telling my wife this weekend, I want so bad to go right here, right in front of Lowe's. There's a restaurant I love called Cinco de Mayo. And they have Cinco de Mayo nachos with fajita and chicken. And right now, I want it. I'm not going to do it. But for some of you who are not fasting from meat, somebody needs to go to Cinco de Mayo and get yourself a plate of those nachos with fajitas and chicken. But do not send me a picture. Yes, you will be tempted. When I'm fasting, I can get grouchy. My wife can vouch for that. And so you can be tempted to get angry with the people around you, the very last thing you want in your life when you're fasting and looking for God's direction. We can be tempted to fail in areas that we'd have had victory over in the past. And it's like, where did this come from? I haven't dealt with that temptation in years. Satan wants to stop your progress. You will be tempted to give up. You will be tempted to stop short. You will be tempted to step away from God's direction. For instance, you may have sensed that God's called you to be baptized this Friday at the baptism celebration. And yet you hear this voice in your mind that says, "You? You want to be baptized? You've been messing up all week. You're not walking forward. You're taking steps backward. What a fake." Don't listen to that voice. That is not the voice of God. Yes, address your problems. Confession, repentance. Take care of those issues, but don't step away from a good decision taking you in the right direction. God wants to direct you, and when He does, you can expect to hear the enemy's voice, you can expect to be tempted. Here's something else you can expect. You can expect to be uncomfortable. Last week, Bo talked a little bit about sackcloth and ashes. Now, sackcloth is like, has anybody ever worn a itchy sweater without a t-shirt underneath? Yeah. This is my favorite sweater. It is solid wool. It's pretty ratty, but I love it. One time I wore it without a t-shirt. I was absolutely miserable. I was itching the whole time. I started to get a rash. It was like, I can't wait to get out of it. That's what sackcloth is, except times 10. Even if we aren't wearing sackcloth, and even if we aren't sprinkling ashes in our head, fasting from something should make you uncomfortable. If you're not uncomfortable while fasting, you may be fasting from the wrong thing. Everything inside me wants to fast from Brussels sprouts. I hate Brussels sprouts. That's not much of a fast. I'm not going to be very uncomfortable there. I'll be very happy. Discomfort has a purpose. It reminds us to get on our knees and point our voices to heaven and plead for God's direction. We need to be hungry for more of God. Remember Jonah? That guy who was swallowed by a whale? I got to tell you, this guy was called by God. He was a prophet of God, and God said, I want you to go and I want you to preach repentance to the city of Nineveh. I want you to get them to turn their life around. And Jonah wanted nothing to do with it. He hated the Ninevites. He wanted to see them dead. So what's he do? He hops on a boat and heads in the opposite direction. But Jonah, God's got a hold of Jonah's collar, and he's like, pulls him right back, has him tossed overboard, swallowed by a whale, and he's inside that whale for 3 days and nights, and that whale gets kind of sick to his stomach of Jonah and spits him right out up onto the ground. Now Jonah, he's listening. God's got his attention. So he walks into Nineveh, and the Bible says he shouts, in 40 days, you're all going to be dead. Man, that doesn't sound like a repentance message, you know? It's like condemnation. Come on, Jonah. But at that moment, the people of Nineveh did something powerful. Powerful. The Bible says the people of Nineveh believed God. They took him seriously. And they called for a fast. And they put on those itchy sweaters without a t-shirt. From the greatest of them to the least of them. The king of Nineveh called the people to repentance. There is that word again. They started in the right place. Repent. He called them to turn from their evil ways, and they did. The king took off his royal robes, and he himself put on that itchy sackcloth. He didn't just sprinkle some ashes on his head like was custom in that day. He actually sat in a pile of ashes. He even had every single animal in the kingdom wear sackcloth. And when I hear this, I can't help but kind of laugh. You know, there goes little Rover, the puppy dog, with his wool sweater on, itching like crazy. Right? Everyone and everything was repenting, fasting, wearing sackcloth covered with ashes, except for Jonah. He was upset because they're repenting. He still wants them dead. Well, something amazing happens. God doesn't kill them. Because of their repentance, because of their humility, because of their prayers, because of their fasting, because of their willingness to become uncomfortable, God spared that city. Expect to be uncomfortable. It's not a bad thing when you're fasting. And then expect God's direction. Expect him to show up. Expect him to move. The Bible has these words that I absolutely love. It says, in all your ways acknowledge God, and he will. Circle that word, will. Not could, should, might, he will direct your paths. Hold on to that verse. Go into your fasting believing and expecting that God will move, that God will direct you. God loves you. He wants to lead you. So how will God show up when we're fasting and praying? How will he direct us? First of all, God will direct you through his word, the Bible. As you're praying and fasting, you're going to sense God moving you in a certain direction. You're going to sense his nudge. And that direction will always line up with his word, the Bible. When you sense God's direction, it will never conflict with biblical truths. He's not going to tell you to go run drugs to pay the electric bill. The Bible says, do not steal. And the only way we're going to know how the Bible can direct us is if we read the Bible. We have to pull that book out. We have to load it on our phones. We need to read it. We need to get in it. God will direct us through his word, the Bible. And God will also direct us during this time of fasting through his people. As you're praying and as you're fasting, you are going to sense God move. That direction will line up with God's word, the Bible. And God's direction will be supported by the advice of the godly people around you. For 35 years, I worked construction. I built houses for a living. And one day, Pastor Kenny comes up to me and he says, Rich, I think you should put your tool pouch away. And I'm like, what? He says, I think you should come on staff as a pastor of students here at BCF. And now I had sensed that God was leading me into ministry. We were faithfully serving in every church that we've been a part of. We faithfully served there. But this, man, this was a big step. Construction had been very good to me. And to think about taking this step, we thought, man, this is not something we're going to do lightly. So Maria Mia, my wife and I, we started praying. We started fasting. In this fasting, again, we felt like this was the right direction, but it was a big deal. It was a big deal. We needed confirmation. So I remember that I went and I talked to my dad and a Christian friend of mine who'd been a buddy of mine since high school. And I said, I'd like you guys to pray with me. And let me know what you sense God's direction is for me. And I remember they did that. A week later, I talked with both of them. My dad and my friend said, I believe this is the right direction that God's calling you. And here we are 15 years later. In our church family, and I am so grateful. I am so grateful. The Lord made it very clear through God's people that this was the way he was directing us. If you don't have godly people who can confirm God's will and direction for your life, find some. You're surrounded with them right here in this group. And please don't go shopping for that one yes man when you're looking for his direction. You will find them. You know what I mean? You know, I'm going to go talk. If I want direction, I'm going to go talk to the one who always tells me yes. Follow your heart. It's the only way to go. You're doing the right thing. No. That's not the person you go to confirm what you've been praying or fasting for. Look for godly people. If their answers all come back the same and it doesn't line up with what you've been sensing, continue to fast and pray. The Bible says good advice, refuse good advice and watch your plans fail. Take good counsel and watch them succeed. As you fast and pray, expect God to direct you through godly people around you. Now, for many of us, this concept of taking godly counsel, godly advice from someone else, it always sounds better for someone else, not me. Like, I'm good. You know, I wish I had a dollar for every time someone said, well, when they were given good advice by a godly person, well, maybe, I'll think about that. I'll pray about that. And what they really mean is, yeah, right, stay out of my business. I know what I'm doing. I am so glad for men in my life who call me out when I do that. Men who point me in the right direction if I'm moving in the wrong direction. Men who I can share my ideas, my dreams with, and get their feedback. I believe that there are men sitting in this group right now, sitting right here among you, who need men like that in their lives. They need men who are going to speak truth into their lives. They're going to point them in the right direction. I believe that our world would change if godly men came together. We need godly men who will confirm God's directions for our lives. We need that. If you're one of those men sitting out here today, I want to invite you Saturday, April the 6th. A bunch of us men are going to get together at the church property. It's a weekend after Easter. You can actually scan the QR code if you want to sign up here. If you're old school like me, you can go to the back and sign up with those amazing men at the back. But be there. We're going to cook meat together. We're going to meet men. We're going to play games together. And we're going to try to get people connected, men connected to each other. Women, don't worry. You've got an event coming too later in April. God wants to confirm his direction in our lives through the godly people around us. And when God confirms his direction through our fasting, through his word, through his people, this is so cool. He will seal this God-given direction with his peace. He will seal it with his peace. God's peace will confirm his direction. The Bible has these amazing, comforting words for us. It says, don't worry about anything. How is that possible? Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace. This peace exceeds anything we can understand. This peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Breathe in. Breathe out. God's peace is very different than the world's peace. We can experience that peace, his peace, even in the middle of difficult times. The difficult times that you're going through right now. Maybe you're here this morning and your life feels anything but peaceful. Maybe your closest relationships are on the rocks. Maybe your children are in rebellion. Maybe you've been asking God for physical healing and it hasn't shown up yet. Maybe your parents, if you're young, maybe your parents are absent. Care less. Maybe you're a single mom and you feel like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. Maybe your debt is piling up. Maybe your anxiety is choking you. And you think, I need direction in my life. I do. I need to see a way forward. I need you, God. Maybe your out-of-control life is a result of your own mistakes. You can't blame anyone but yourself. And you wonder, will God even hear me? Will he direct me? Will he even listen to me? Open your eyes. Look up here. Friends, God sees you. He sees you. You're not here by accident this morning. He knows exactly where you've fallen short, and he wants your repentant heart. He still wants to direct your path. Even if you've never asked him to do that before, he wants to direct your path. We find this direction inside a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus died to save us because he loves us, because he wants to direct us. He wants to protect us. And all we have to do is invite him in. The Bible says that he stands at the door of our heart and he knocks, waiting for us. He could force his way in, but he waits for us to open that door. And the way we do that is simply to talk to him. And you can do that right now this morning. It's as easy as saying these words. I know I'm a sinner. Tell him that. I know I've made mistakes. That's repentance. And then tell him, I believe you died to save me. Tell him that. That's God's grace. He gave us what we didn't deserve. And then tell him, I believe that you are the Son of God. That's claiming him as Lord. Tell him that. I believe that you are the Son of God. And then tell him, come in. Come into my life right now and take control. If you prayed those words with me, expect God to show up. Expect him to direct you. Expect his peace. Expect the joy that we're going to sing about right now. I love you guys.